Thanks so very much for being out here with us here tonight. It's so good to see you. It's so good to have you in our presence. It means so very much to us that you have selected out of your busy schedule to come out here and be with us tonight and join in the singing of these songs. How beautiful it makes the singing for your voice to be a part of this song service, and for us to be able to sing together as our brethren have stood before us and led these songs, and for us to be able to pray together and go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. What a joy it is to be able to talk to the Creator of this universe and to go to Him through our Savior and His Son, Jesus Christ, that we would be able to offer up unto Him our feeble petitions, that we would be able to pray as we did that very first prayer for those that are sick. That means so much. That means so much to pray for the ones that are sick and the ones that are bereaved. They need that. They deserve that. They request that of us. They anticipate us praying for them. They sometimes will ask us, please put me on the prayer list. Make sure that you're remembering me in prayer. And we need to do that. We need to take time out of our busy schedule promptly to pray for those folks that are sick and those now that we've learned about here tonight that are bereaved and saddened at the loss of loved ones and those that are troubled. Many different kinds of personal problems that come along in this life. We're so thankful that we can stand before you here tonight, and I appreciate the invitation to come back and be with you. I'm thankful that Brother Timothy mentioned my traveling companion here tonight, Brother Lewis. I'm thankful to be traveling with Brother Lewis. He's a fine young man. I love him dearly. And I have somewhat taken him under my wing, if you will, under my arms to help him and to encourage him. And I believe you me, he's moving right along real well and does a mighty fine job in preaching the gospel. And I recommend him highly wherever I go in the preaching of the gospel. I can sit back at ease and in ease when Brother Timothy is up preaching, because I know that all I'm going to hear is the book and the chapter and the verse. So that puts me at ease when I can sit and listen to someone preaching and know that what is going to be coming out of their mouths is going to be the Bible, the book of God, the Word of God. For our study together this evening, I wanted us to study, and our text is going to be the song that Brother Mike is going to be leading us in at the close of this study. The title of the lesson is the title of the song, Faith of Our Fathers. And I'm going to read the words of this song because I'm convinced that if we can sing out of these song books, I'll be able to preach out of them too. Because we're just as obligated to preach, to sing the truth as we are to preach the truth. And it's just as easy to sing lies as it is to preach a lie. And so this song has a great message in it, and I wanted us to think about the faith of our fathers. Faith of our fathers living still in spite of dungeons, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whenever we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Our fathers, chained in prisons dark, were still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's fate if they, like them, could die for thee. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will love both friend and foe in all our strife, and preach thee too, and love as love knows how, by kindly words and virtuous life. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith, my friends, as it is taught in the Bible, is certainly one of the most important things that exists. Faith, and faith begins with Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, and lingers on and abounds all throughout the teaching of the Bible, all the way over to the very last verse in the book of Revelation. And among those last words that were spoken was that we are not to add to nor to take from what God's Word tells us that we are to do. Just about everything that we do in this life, not just spiritually speaking, but in every aspect of our life, is based upon faith. I have a package in my automobile that the only thing I need to do is to remember to go to a post office sometime while I'm down here and put it in the mail, into the mail carrier's hand there at the post office. It's going to go over to Summit, Mississippi. And I have great faith that when I do that, that it will arrive there. I have more faith in that than me remembering to go do it, if you want to know the truth about it. I have that kind of faith in the mail carriers. I have faith that when I get that package on the way, it is going to arrive. And that's the kind of faith that I have. I have faith that when I go down to the bank to make a deposit, very seldom do I go back and check, you know, the next day or two, or call them. I just want to make sure that that deposit got in there. I'll check it at the end of the month when I get my statements, of course. But I have faith, and I'll go ahead and write checks on that because I know that that check has been deposited. I have that kind of faith that it has been deposited into my account. When we go out and look for a job, we have faith that we'll find a job, don't we? We tell our grandchildren when they get of age, you need to go and put in some applications. And we have confidence and we have faith that they'll be able to find a job when they go do that. And you know, because our soul is involved and because eternal life is involved, this faith of our fathers that we're talking about is even of more value to us, and certainly of supreme importance to us, that we have this kind of faith that the Bible teaches us that we're to have in order that we might be saved. This faith, the faith of our fathers, comes by hearing the Word of God. In Romans 10 and verse 17, the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We have confidence in that. And I have not learned of any shortcuts. I have never been able to find any other way for us to build our faith up. I have never been able to find any other way for us to become more faithful, more full of faith, than through the Word of God. This is the only way that genuine, saving faith comes, is through the Word of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1 and verse 16, our beloved brother Paul said. And he said, "And I'm now ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Because he knew that that faith that was going to be a saving faith for them and all of us ever since that time was going to come through the preaching of the gospel. It was going to come through the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Now, I realize that God is all-powerful. I know that God is all-knowing. And I realize that God could have selected any other means, any other powerful means of saving souls. But he selected the gospel and the faith in that gospel for human beings to be saved. God has given us this grand old book called the Bible for a purpose. And I want us to have the kind of faith in it that our fathers have had. I want us to think back of those that we have known, people that we have spoken of, even here tonight, Brother Timothy. Our fathers, our forefathers, our dads, our moms, and those that have lived before us, even hundreds of years before that, and the great faith that they had, and I want us to learn where that faith came from. And I'm here to tell you tonight, it came from God's Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In John chapter 17 and verse 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." You and I are to maintain our faith. We are to obtain our faith and to maintain our faith through the Word of God, which is the truth. The Bible is the truth. That's the reason why that I always like to see someone that is willing to turn to the Bible. We had a sister, she's passed on now, but I think of her often, how that she would usually answer a Bible question when some of her children or neighbors or relatives or even people like me would ask her. She would say, "Well, she'd get her Bible and she'd say, let's just see what the Bible says." That is such a beautiful way to answer a Bible question, isn't it? What could be better to answer a Bible question than with the Bible? Let's get the Bible out and see what the Bible says, because thy word is truth. In John chapter 8 and beginning verse 31, the Bible teaches us that if ye continue in my word. That's a mouthful when you say it. Doesn't sound like a lot, perhaps, when you say it pretty quickly. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Oh, beloved, how wonderful it is that we can put our confidence, we can put our faith in the hearing of the Word of God, and know that it is the truth, and know that it is what will save us. Many people believe something else. They have faith in something else. If you put your faith in something that is false, you'll still feel good about it. You'll still feel like that everything is all right because you truly believe what you've been told. You're honest about it. You're sincere about it. And so you feel good about it because, as far as you know, you've heard and believed the truth. But when you do investigation work and compare it to what the Bible says, you say, "Well, that's not even the truth. Why did I fall for that?" You see, truth is the only thing that will produce the faith of our fathers that we're talking about and singing about here tonight. In the book of Mark chapter 16, when Jesus gave that great commission, he said, "Go ye," and I'm convinced that includes you and that includes me. "Go ye. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Now when Jesus said, "Go and preach the gospel," he said, "Do that. I am sending you out to do that. This is going to be your mission. This is going to be your job. This is going to be your vocation. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Matthew recorded this way: "Go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." And so the teaching of the truth, the teaching of the gospel, my friends, is very important because faith depends upon it. And in order for us to believe, in order for us to have faith, that's what faith is. It's confidence. It's belief. When we believe, when we have faith, when we have confidence in Jesus Christ, we must have heard about Christ, you see. How can anyone believe in Jesus Christ unless they have heard about Jesus Christ, learned about Him? There's an example of that in the book of Acts, chapter 8. Here was a man that was reading on his way back home, had been to Jerusalem for the purpose of worshiping, and was on his way back home riding in probably the Cadillac of that day, reading from his copy of the Bible what we know as Isaiah chapter 53. And Philip, the evangelist, joined himself unto him and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That's how he learned about Jesus. Preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, behold, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." How did he have that faith? He had been taught that. How did he believe in Jesus? He had learned about Jesus. In order for us to believe in Jesus, in order for us to have confidence in him, in order for us to have faith in Jesus, we have to have learned about him. And so that's why that Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Folks need to learn about Jesus. And we have to learn about him before we can obey him. You see, a lot of times people sort of get the cart in front of the horse, so to speak. And they think that they are saved and then they learn about Jesus later on. In order for us to be saved, we have to have learned about Jesus. That's what Philip said to him. "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." You can obey the gospel. If you believe with all your heart, then you can. And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." They commanded the church to stand still. They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And then when they came up out of the water, the Bible tells us that Philip went on his way and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing because he had now obeyed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be hearing the Bible. How do we hear the Bible? Well, we can read it ourselves. That certainly is one of the safer ways to do it, is to hear the Bible ourselves. Read it ourselves. Some people who cannot read, and there are still a number of people in America who cannot read, and saw a good way to baptize a man about 3 weeks ago, and he told me that he could not read nor write, and he wanted to learn about the Bible more, and he'd been coming to church services for a long time, so certainly he'd learned a lot, but he said, "I'd like to be able to read my Bible." And I said, "Well, you know what?" I said, "They make a DVD with the Bible being read and the Bible right there on the screen." And I said, "I've been wanting me one of those." And I said, "I'll just order two of them." He's got his now. And I've got mine too. And you can just watch. You can see the words right there on the screen. And you can listen to one of the greatest voices that's ever read the Bible, reading the Bible to you there, and he has the opportunity to hear. My dad could not read nor write, and so Dad didn't go to school, and he began to read the Bible with the cassette tapes when they first came out, way back in the 60s. He got him a copy of the whole Bible on cassette tape, and he wore those out, listening to the Bible on the tape player being read to him. And that helped him to learn. That helped him to know what the Bible said. And it helped him also to memorize, because Dad always had a good memory and he could memorize the scriptures and talk about the scriptures from just hearing the Bible read. You see, here was a man who needed to hear about Jesus, and Philip began at the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. He hadn't been taught up until that time, so he could not believe with all of his heart. But now he had been taught, and so when Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest," he was able to say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And they went down into the water, and he baptized him. You see, we must believe in God. We must believe in God in order to please him. The Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, "For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that believeth must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And so he says, you must believe that God is. It's sad, friends, but we have a lot of educated fools in the world today. People who do not believe that God is. We must believe that God is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must believe that he is. That's what the Bible tells us there. And in Hebrews 11 verse 6, and we go all the way back to the very first verse of the Bible, in the beginning, God. I don't doubt that, do you? I have no distrust in that. I have great faith and confidence in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And I believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith of our fathers. This faith is living still and must continue to live within us. This faith of our fathers. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's part of what this faith is. The faith of our fathers. In John 14 and verse 1, Jesus said it this way. And it makes sense. You believe in God. He said, believe also in me. He was the Son of God. You believe in God, he said. Now, of course, speaking to the Jews there, but they did believe in God, but they did not believe in the Son of God. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. How could we believe and claim to believe in God and not believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and not be willing to believe his word? You see, the Bible tells us in John 3:16 that we must believe in him or perish. That's what John 3:16 says, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said, you believe in God, believe in me also. You believe in God, believe also in me. And without us believing in him, we're going to be condemned. And John chapter 3 and verse 18 says that we're actually condemned already. Let's go over here and read that just right after. What he said there in John chapter 3 and verse 16. He said in verse 17, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Faith of our fathers, living still, living in us. Friends and neighbors, you think back. I remember my great-grandfather, George Washington Harless. George Washington Harless in the 1950s, and earlier than that, but in the 50s is as far back as I can remember. I was born in 47, but in the 50s is as far back as I can remember on Sunday afternoons. Grandma always prepared a big meal, of course. That's what got everybody's interest. But Grandpa took advantage of it, and he was on the front porch reading the Bible, because many of the children, one of them being my father, could not read. And so Grandpa could, and he wanted to make sure that his children had some Bible read to them. I guess he thought, well, if I'm going to feed them fried chicken, I might as well feed them some gospel too. Kind of goes together for most preachers, at least. And so he would read the Bible to them there on the front porch. And I look back upon that and I think of that great faith that he had, faith of our fathers. And I want to carry that on. I'm sure that in the 1950s he had no idea, and probably would have discouraged if he'd ever thought, that I'd be even mentioning his name all these many years later. Mentioning his name. Well, he says here, you believe in God, believe also in me. And if you don't believe in me, he says you are condemned already. And so we have to have this faith of our fathers. It has to be living within us. This faith has to be in us. It has to be a part of our lives. And the Bible tells me that there is just one faith. The same Bible that we've been preaching from already. That tells me in the book of Ephesians, there in chapter 4 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul points out that there's one body. He first said in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Well, why would there just be one faith, just one Bible? So, when you have all of these different man-made Bibles that are all over the world today, many religious organizations have their own Bible, if you will, their own creed books, they have their own catechism, they have their own church manuals in which they go by, and you have faith in that, then you have faith in their doctrine. This one faith that we're talking about, the faith of our fathers, this faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so there's this one faith. You see, if there's one Christ, doesn't it make sense that if we believe in Him, there's only going to be one faith? One Christ, one faith. One God, one faith. One Bible, one faith. Why would there be many different faiths if we all have the one Bible and we all believe the one Bible? How can there be anything more than the one true faith? Faith of our fathers. Well, somebody says, what about faith? Is it something that people just talk about? Or what happens when we have faith? Well, faith produces work. The Bible teaches us that faith is going to produce work in our lives. It's going to be work that is learned from the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So that one faith, coming from this one book, tells us the good works in which that we're to engage in. And so by that faith in God's Word, we learn what we are to do. That's how we learn what to do to be saved. Faith causes people to obey the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth. And then the natural process, and is baptized, shall be saved. So there's the natural process of this spiritual saving faith of our fathers that we've learned about and we're so grateful for. This faith is what causes us, once we obey that gospel, to grow in the Christian graces. Because Peter said that we're to add to our faith. There in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, he talked about faith. We know that's the foundation. That's the beginning. Faith, belief, confidence, trust in God's Word. And so he says we add to our faith. He didn't say we change our faith and we now base it upon something else. He said, no, you add to your faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And now you add your faith, virtue, and knowledge, and temperance, and patience, and godliness, and brotherly kindness, and charity, and all of these Christian graces that Peter goes into great details to remind us of and to exhort us to grow in. And he says, if you abound in these, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful. But if any man lack these things, he is blind and cannot see afar off. So it must be a working faith. It must be a faith that grows and that abounds in our lives. And the Bible teaches us that we're to be faithful. Be thou faithful unto death. Revelations 2 and verse 10. So this faithfulness is an important element of our salvation and the faith of our fathers, that we looked at and we watched and we observed, and thankfully we learned. I learned a lot about the church from the lives of the faithful men and women that I've been able to come in contact with in my lifetime. You see, the Bible teaches us that we're to have faith. But now look at us. We're all human beings. You're here, I'm here. Obviously, there must be some different degrees of faith. What does the Bible teach about us? Well, in looking up some of the different degrees of faith, I find the Bible talks about, O ye of little faith. I find the Bible talks about those who had great faith. I find the Bible speaks of those who had no faith at all. No faith. I find the Bible speaks about folks who had a working faith. A working faith. Some that were full of faith. Now, have we found ourselves somewhere in these descriptions? The Bible talks about a small faith, a weak faith. It talks about a strong faith. And it talks about a growing faith. And I'm convinced that every one of us, start over here with no faith, and over here to a strong faith, that all of us have been or are right now somewhere along that line. And maybe different days we may be in different places because we're human beings. But I trust that all of us realize our need to have a greater faith and that we are striving to have a growing faith. And therefore we are feeding ourselves from the Word of God, the source of faith. When someone says, or maybe you think, my faith is weak, what do? Do we go read our Bibles, study our Bibles, and say, I'm going to devote a little more time to study of the Bible, the Word of God, so that I might grow in my faith, that I might have a greater faith? Friends, we all want to strengthen our faith, don't we? And therefore, we put it into practice. We put it into action. And our faith is an acting faith. It is a working faith. And we walk by faith. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith. Walk by faith, not by sight. He refers to it, the Apostle Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, and there at verse 1, as a precious faith. Well, I'm sure that Timothy referred to it as a precious faith that had been handed down to him from his grandmother and his mother. I call that a precious faith, don't you? Faith of our fathers, faith of our mothers. I call that a precious faith. A faith that has been handed down to us by our loved ones that have lived before us, that have cried for us and prayed for us and taught us and pleaded with us, and have set the right example before us of this precious faith that we're talking about. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, the Bible says that we're saved by faith. No place does the Bible say that we're saved by any one thing. It takes faith in order for us to be saved. It takes the blood of Christ in order for us to be saved. It takes the grace of God in order for us to be saved. All of these elements of our salvation, the blood of Christ and our obedience to the gospel, they all work together. But friends and neighbors, we are saved by faith because our faith is what causes us to go yonder and do what God's Word said. Paul complimented the people in the land of Galatia and us and tells us about how that we are the children of God by faith. And he goes ahead to show because that faith led us to obey the gospel. And that faith has moved us to do the will of God in our lives, day by day. Faith. Trust. I like to close in reading the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and verse 1. Here the Bible tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What's he saying? He says, this faith is putting our trust in God. We trust God. We put our trust and our confidence in God. And God speaks to us through His Word. And we speak to God through prayer. There's the communication process that God has put into place for us. He's wanting to talk to us, and we want to talk to Him. And so He has His book here for us. He talks to us through this great and grand old book called the Bible. And we speak to Him through prayer, through the Lord Jesus Christ, putting our trust in the Lord. Do we have the faith of our fathers? In just a moment when we stand and sing this song and think about these words, do we have the faith of our fathers? Or are we trying to run from it? Are we trying to run from the faith that we have been rooted and grounded in? The faith that we're trying to strive for may be that where people are tossed about with every wind of doctrine and they really don't have anything that anchors their soul. I want my soul anchored, don't you? My faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Do we have enough faith to obey God? That's what I want to leave you with. Do we have enough faith to obey God? Do we have enough faith to be faithful even unto death? That heaven will be our home in the after while. Maybe you're here tonight and you've not even yet obeyed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of faith do you have? Do you have enough faith here tonight that you're going to leave your sinful life and you're going to obey the gospel from the heart? You believe the Word of God. You're ready to repent of your past sins. Quit doing them. That's what repentance means. Quit doing what you've been doing that's wrong. Confessing your faith in Christ, that He's the Son of God, and be baptized tonight for the remission of your sins. Nothing should hinder you if you have the faith of your fathers. Obey that gospel. If you've strayed away from the Lord and you've not been living right, it is our prayer that you'll come back to Him, that your faith will move you to come back to the Lord on His terms, repenting, confessing your wrong, and asking the church to pray with Him for you. God help us all to have the faith of our fathers, the faith that God would have us to be saved by in the end. If you're here and subject in any way, would you come while we stand together and while we sing, God help you to come.